over 99 that need no repentance. Wow. Think of the joy that that brings. As I was thinking about this matter of joy, the little expression with joy, the words with joy came to my mind. And, Okay. This thought, these words came to my mind, and I started looking and thinking, and there's a number of things about this phrase that relate to us. But I wanted to start out looking at this phrase this morning with joy, thinking of it in relation to God. God expresses His joy. And I want you to get your thinking caps on this morning, because this is some stuff that's just really tough for me to get a hold of. Okay? And I think it probably is for most of us. But I want us to think this morning. Need a little help, James. Or Joshua, I mean. Not going. What gives God joy? One of the questions that I want us to think about this morning. What brings joy to God? We've already talked about one. Sinners that repent brings joy to God. Do you bring God joy? How many of you think that you bring God joy? Really? I mean, honestly, do we bring Him joy? Now, why do we bring God joy? What do we usually think that we do to bring God joy? Okay, being obedient. We usually think about performance, don't we? That's where we go, the very first thing, when we start thinking about bringing God joy. And I want us to think this morning about this, of how we bring God joy. If God receives joy, more joy over one sinner that repents and comes into His family, into the kingdom, than He does over 99 just people that need no repentance, what does that tell us about God's joy? And if you pick out some things that you think I'm not quite on target here this morning, you feel free to talk to me about them. That's fine. I'm happy with that. So we're asking ourselves, how can we bring God joy? Need a little help again, Joshua. What brings God joy? I have some pictures up there that I think help us to think about this. As a father with a young child, what brings you joy with that child? Does your joy go up and down according to how that child performs? Especially a young child? Mostly, our joy is related to the fact that this is our child, right? And so the little child comes and he starts to walk. And he takes a step and he falls down. Is our joy gone? No. Our joy continues to be in our child because that is our child. Right? So we need to remember that. When we think about this whole thing about God, and I think we'll see some more of this as we go along. Do I desire to bring God joy? Now this is a kind of a different side of the question, because I think that God has joy in us, Even though we may not always desire to bring Him joy, but as we understand the joy that God has in us, then we want to bring Him joy. Right? I believe it's important for us to get hold of this. Can we learn something from God's joy in us that will help us or benefit us, that will give us something useful for our own lives? I think that's an important application that we can make for ourselves. Now I want to look at some things that help us to understand this. God delivers His people with joy. And we're not going to be using only the term with joy, but some other terms that are related to this. But there's a couple of scriptures that I want to start off here with that tell us specifically that God had some experiences that He went through, that He went through with joy. In Psalm 105, He's talking about the children of Israel and how God brought them out of the land of Egypt. And He says this, He remembered His holy promise and Abraham His servant, and He brought forth His people with joy. Now, I'm thinking back a little bit. What were the children of Israel doing in Egypt? What were they? Slaves. Were they happy slaves? Not too much. Were they just so anxious to get out of the land of Egypt that when Moses started leading them, it was go for it? Not so much. A little bit, but not so much. In fact, they were not even out of the land, and they were already saying, wait a minute, Moses is bringing us here to kill us. What are we doing following this guy? Did God hear all of that? Did He know all about that? Well, wait a minute. What did He say? He brought forth His people with joy. So was God's joy in bringing forth His people tied directly to how His people performed? No. In fact, He tells us why God had the joy that He had is because God remembered the promise that He had made to Abraham, His servant. And because of that, God brought forth His people with joy and His chosen with gladness. Not because of the people responding so well to what God was doing, but because of God Himself and His promises and what He had done and who He was and what He was going to do, okay? Now, let's just bring that over into our own lives a little bit. Does God receive joy only when we perform, or does He receive joy? Does He get joy in His heart by us becoming His children and the promise being fulfilled through Jesus Christ? Just something to keep in mind and to think about as we look at that this morning. God rejoiced over His people with joy as He brought them out of the land. Now, Almighty God rejoices over His people with joy. This is from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. What were the prophets telling the people of Israel? What were they telling them? You've been wonderful people. God just smiling on you and everything's good. Is that what they were telling them? No. Not at all. They were saying, you guys are not listening to God. God's got a few things for you that will help you to listen. And then in the end of their prophecies, they often came with these prophetic words that God is going to do a great work. And that you are going to be changed. And you are going to experience God's goodness and blessing. And he's telling them here, after he had prophesied all the doom and gloom and the awful things that were coming, he says, God's going to rejoice over you with joy. God's going to have joy in you. Okay? He led his people forth with joy. They didn't follow him. They didn't believe him. They didn't trust him. They didn't obey him. But he's going to rejoice over them with joy. Wow. That's amazing. It kind of blows a few fuses in my mind. It kind of makes me think about some of my misconceptions that I often have about God. Now, here's something interesting. I ran across this verse, and I don't know if I ever thought about this or noticed this verse before in this way. In Deuteronomy, Moses is talking, he says, 28:63, it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good, just like the Lord had joy in doing you good, in that same way, the Lord is going to rejoice over you to destroy you. Whoa, wait a minute. God gets joy in blessing, and God gets joy in destroying. I'm not sure how that all fits together. But I know that God knows what he's doing, and God is receiving glory to himself, and God is filled with joy in his work, in what he, in his purposes, in what he is accomplishing. Now, God's ultimate joy is in bringing blessing to his people later on in Deuteronomy 30, verses 9 to 14. I don't have all those verses up there, but take those verses and read them. The Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers, if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes. And he goes on to say, the word is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mind. You don't have to go seeking for it. I'm coming and putting it within you. So God says, I joy in bringing joy and in blessing my people. That's God's desire. That's God's longing. That's what he wants for each of us. And he has joy in that. God rejoices over his people as a bridegroom rejoices over a bride. Isaiah 62 verse 5. As a young man, as Jay married Abigail, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as a bridegroom rejoices over a bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Does that mean only on the day of the marriage, the wedding? Is that what he's talking about? No, he's talking about a lifetime. As a bridegroom rejoices over a bride, so God rejoices over thee. When I married my wife, I was pretty happy. I'm still happy. But I've had to make certain that my happiness did not depend on on whether my wife was perfect or not. Right? My joy continues whether she's perfect or whether she's not. And when we are espoused to Christ, His joy over us continues even in our imperfections. We have difficulty taking hold of that. I have difficulty taking hold of that. How many of you have difficulty taking it? Yeah, we do. We struggle with that because it's not according to how we think and how we react. So I just really, that verse just really is so such a blessing to me. Isaiah 65, and by the way, God's joy is in His people, brings joy to His people. Now, I want you to think about this. What I'm saying with this is, as we realize how much joy God has in us as His people, that causes us to have joy in ourselves, right? Isaiah 65:19, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be heard no more in her, nor the voice of crying. Something's changing. Something's happening. There was all this weeping. There was all this crying. There was all this stuff going on. And as the people recognize and appreciate the joy that God has in them, the weeping stops. The crying stops. The joy in their own heart overflows. So I want us to remember that as we recognize God's joy in us, our joy increases and expands. So one of the good things for us to stop and think about is how much God joys in us. Too often we have this concept that God is standing there and He is so disgusted with us and He is just ready to club us and to bring us into line and do whatever. No! God is joying over His children and over His son's wife to be. He's taking joy in us. And we need to respond accordingly to Him. God rejoices over His people to do them good. Here's a couple verses. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 41. Yea. And again, this is Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is a weeping prophet. And he's prophesying. He says, God is going to take you away for 70 years because of the way that you have violated His Sabbaths and so on. And all these things are going to happen, terrible things. But He says, yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. Wow. Is that your picture of God? Do you picture God like a father holding his son, or I have an older dad and son there as well. And that parent joying in their child and singing over them and rejoicing. Is that the way you picture God looking at you? That's the Scriptures. It's not our ideas. That's the Scripture. And when our ideas are not in line with Scripture, we need to take our ideas and throw them out the window and take the Scripture and stand on that, right? That's what gives us victory. That's what gives us freedom. So the Lord says, I will rejoice over you with joy. I'll joy over you with singing for His people. These verses here, I've referred to them before, but they absolutely blow my mind. God is going to be bursting with joy, and so will we. We often use this as a benediction, a closing prayer, as these verses. But these verses tell me something that I don't understand. I just absolutely cannot grasp in my mind. I grasp it in my spirit, but I cannot grasp it in my mind. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Anybody here faultless? Not me. How can God present us to Himself as faultless with exceeding joy? That's something I just cannot, in my mind, I cannot grasp. I know my faults. I know my failings. And to think of God being able to look at me as absolutely faultless and do it with exceeding joy is only because of the work of Jesus Christ, of His shed blood, His redeeming love, and the great mercy that God has for me and for you, for each one of us. Let's stand together for prayer. God, our minds struggle to wrap around this thought of how much joy You have over us. We know our faults. We know our failures. We know our sins. We know our limitations, Lord. And to think of You being able to joy over us as Your children, to think of You even in that day when we stand before You to be able to view us as faultless and to bring us into Your eternal kingdom with exceeding joy, O God. It's beyond our imagination, our wildest dreams. And yet we know it's true. You've told us. And God, I pray that all those lies that we believed for so long about not being good enough, about You not loving us, about not being important to You, I pray they'd be torn down. That'd be cast down, God. And that we claim Your truth. That we live in that truth, O God. That we might live in joy and blessing that You desire for us. Thank You, God, for Your word. And for what it does in our hearts and our lives. And for Your spirit that makes Your word alive to us. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.